the Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. John Cantara, the coach, legendary voice over in Southern California, a former teammate of mine at the mighty 690 30 years ago. John is on 97.3, the Padres station. He is also the voice of high school football in San Diego. John is going to be with us to talk about U of A and San Diego State opening up this Saturday, the new stadium in San Diego. And also, there's some high school games this weekend. Chandler plays at Cathedral Catholic, so we'll get into that with Coach Cantara. Goody is with us today, Bill Goody-Kuntz, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central Sports. It is the start of the NFL season, so we're going to get into the announcers and the musical chair of announcers and all that with the great Bill Goody-Kuntz. That is all coming up on today's show. Opening comments brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. We have some breaking news on the high school level this morning. The Hamilton Husky football program that was on probation, that was going to miss postseason, was moments ago rescinded. Entire athletic program was given a warning. The Huskies are eligible for postseason. Zach Alvira from the Tribune putting that out just now. So Hamilton now will be eligible for postseason. I think that is the right move. Not an easy move, but this is one of those, you do this again, and there's still some layers of this story left to unfold and unpack, but that is the story that Hamilton is now eligible for the postseason. I watched Corbin Carroll last night. I watched Serena last night. There was a lot of good stuff. I saw Aaron Judge hit his 50th home run last night, but Serena ended about the time the Diamondbacks started. So there was a lot for me to dive into last night. And, you know, for Serena Williams, she's expected to retire. She's 40. She wants to have another child. They showed her first child throughout the match. It was cool to see. Serena is still a badass. She goes about her business. The average ticket for that match last night was $987. And they sold it out. And there were people all around the grounds that were watching. Not seen the numbers yet this morning, but I'm assuming the numbers were large to watch Serena. And I want her to do well. I want her to finish on top. I thought it was great drama, great gripping television to watch Serena last night. Then it came to Corbin Carroll, and that was started out not a good night. Madison Bumgarner's not good now. It's really hard. It's really hard to watch greatness fade. And that's just simply where we are today. Nobody can dispute otherwise. I'm not going to question somebody who's going to take the ball every fifth day and walk out onto the hill, but the numbers don't lie. Madison Bumgarner's allowed 27 runs here in the month of August in 26 and a third innings pitched. That is not going to cut it, obviously. I'm being nice. The idea of making him a closer has been brought up. I don't think that works. We're just in this space where he's at the end. He's got a big number. I don't know what the Diamondbacks do. You can't roll him out there every fifth day because it's going to be a heavy bullpen day. Like in the first inning last night, it was 22-23 pitches. Bob Brenly's on it early. He's like, it's, you know, got to get the pitch count down. Got to get the pitch back in line. And it was BP for the Phillies. It's just hard when greatness fades so quickly. And it happens. It was really hard watching Steve Nash at the end, wasn't it? It was really hard watching Luis Gonzalez at the end, wasn't it? And it just happens. It's just part of the deal. You don't want to be critical of someone, but at the same time, for the humanity of them, you don't want to roll them out there if they can't get the job done. So here the Diamondbacks were in a 7-0 hole. And I watched Corbin Carroll's first at bat. It's a high chopper, and he's got great speed, and he just misses beating it out. But it was fun to watch. He's hitting eighth. I stuck through it. I'm there watching. The Diamondbacks get a ratings point. That's hard for them to do after July 1, especially when they're down 7-0. But then Corbin Carroll comes up and gets a two-run double. And there's just something about him and the way that he handles himself. And when you know he's one of the top prospects, the top prospect in Major League Baseball, and he's here in Arizona, And you look around and you say, Alec Thomas, Corbin Carroll, Jake McCarthy. But then it's Carson Kelly's batting leadoff and he's hitting just above 200. Perdomo's hitting a buck 90. Christian Walker hits a bunch of home runs. He's hitting about 215, 220. They can't hit. And then they win the game. They come back. They're down 7-0. Madison Bumgarner's in the showers after 3 2/3. They come back and they win 13-7. Corbin Carroll gets his 2-run double. A lot of excitement, a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of feel goods. Then you dig a little deeper and say, you know what? They actually have a winning record at home this year. You know what? There's 7 games under 500. There's like 8 teams behind them now. They're a game back of the Giants to leapfrog the Giants. Wait a minute. So they won 4 in a row and Zach Gallen didn't pitch in any of those games. They're ace and he's throwing tonight. Like maybe they make it 5 in a row. Like you can see the finishing strong narrative, the interest in a kid like Corbin Carroll being brought up along with the other youngsters that are playing well. People like to see fresh blood on the field. They like to see new. They like to see shiny. They like to see success. So guess what? Tonight, I'm watching. Corbin Carroll comes. I'll be watching. No, this is good stuff. Really, really like it. Beyond that, I think, Devon Kennard got released yesterday with the Cardinals. It's a local kid. Cardinals are deciding, you know what, we've got to see what we have with these. We feel like our linebacking core is going to be really good. I still don't know who's going to play corner on the opposite side, but it's okay. It's early on. Cuts are coming down today. You've got Arizona State starting day after tomorrow against Northern Arizona. I've picked NAU to win. I picked the Jacks to win 6 weeks ago with Bruce Jacobs and Dale Hellestray over on 1580. There's some very good players at ASU. I just don't think there's enough good players. And I don't believe that you can just come in with all the receivers that left, even against NAU, and expect that you're going to run right by guys. Because there's guys in the portal now that are showing up at Big Sky schools, at FCS schools. It's happening. I don't know if it's there yet. I'm interested to see what Emory Jones is all about. Jordan Hamm will be there. Eliav Gebe will be there. Shannon Leibrock will be there. 3 of our team going to be shooting. I heard Herm yesterday go into full Hermism about anxiety. Anxiety. And I just kind of look at that side of it and say, I hope the players do well. I just wish the NCAA would get on with their business, and I wish the reset button would be pushed over on campus. I do. Very interested to see U of A. Like, this year for these two schools, and look, part of it may have been COVID and trying to come back, extra year eligibility and all that stuff last year. It just didn't feel right. It didn't feel the same. But now, and U of A had a first-year coach with no players. He's turned over half that roster in Tucson. And so Saturday, yeah, I will be watching Arizona against San Diego State, along with all the other great games. You know, I'm going to watch Oregon, Georgia. I'm going to watch Utah, Florida. I'm not going to have much of a life on Saturday. I'm going to watch. It'll be great. All right, Coach Quintera, John Quintera is next from 97.3 in San Diego, longtime friend. Part of the original cast and crew characters from the Mighty 690 days. Many of you that watch this remember us from that era. I was on with Steve Hartman this morning, my former co-host. He decided today, he decided enough. I'm going to go be a better dad. I'm going to just punch out here in San Diego. I was on a show this morning over on 1316 San Diego. Very proud of him to take that step. It's not easy. This is a business where you work nights, weekends, and holidays. Just so we're really clear about that. And it's not for everybody. We've been doing it a long time. Very, very proud of him. And very proud to call John Quintera my friend. He comes on next, then another friend. That's Goody. We'll talk NFL announcers as we roll on a Tuesday. All right. There is a lot going on in San Diego this weekend. And it starts on Friday night. Both Red Mountain and Chandler are playing out in the Honor Bowl. And on Saturday, on the high school level, there's games out there involving Desert Vista High School off in the Valley. And then Saturday afternoon, you have the opener for Arizona against San Diego State in their new stadium. And to cover all of it, because John Quintera, the coach, my good friend, at 97.3 The Fan, but beyond that, just great legendary broadcaster in San Diego, knows all on the high school front. I don't know if they'll tell all, but also on San Diego State and their new stadium and all of that. It is good to see you. Let's just start first on the Aztec opener in this new stadium. Have you been there? Is this place nice?
I've not been there yet, Brad. I am very excited about being there. I've heard nothing but good things about it. The one thing that everybody told me, you gotta scale down a little bit. It's not Qualcomm Stadium where you got, 60,000+ seats. They're saying it's going to be 35. I've heard it's 33. We'll find out what the final attendance number is, and I'm sure it's going to be sold out on Saturday. But, from looking from afar and knowing everything that they've done, it's really amazing they've been able to get this thing done in a short period of time. You know, and not only in San Diego, but in the state of California, it's hard to get anything done sports facility-wise. And they're bringing this thing in on time. They had a scrimmage there a week ago. That went well. They got some of the bugs out. I think the one bug I'm kind of anxious to see is how they get the people in and out as far as traffic. I think that could be a little bit of an issue, but we'll wait and see. But looking forward to the season opener. Aztec should have a pretty good team. In Arizona, I know, much improved from a year ago.
Yeah, no question about it. What is it about what Brady Hoke's doing there, John? I mean, it's just consistency.
Well, I think, Brad, you got to go back to when Brady Hoke was here the first time. I think a couple of things. I think he made his team accountable, and they became a lot tougher football team. They played a tougher brand of football. He was here for 2 years. Rocky Long was on the staff. Of course, had a lot of good years over at New Mexico, and I hold Rocky in very high esteem. I think he's a great football coach, a great man, and a leader of men. And he kept his thing going for a decade. And then when he decided to step down, didn't want to be a head coach any longer, ended up going back to New Mexico as an assistant, Brady Hoke got the job again. And Brady was on his staff at the end after, he'd bounced around after leaving Michigan. He bounced around there for a while in the NFL and came back to San Diego State. And he kind of it's kind of been interesting. I mean, it's kind of a handoff from Brady Hoke to Rocky Long, a handoff from Rocky Long back to Brady Hoke, and he got this thing going. They don't get those 4- and 5-star guys. They get a lot of 2, maybe occasionally a 3-star guy, but they make guys better football players. They do a great job of developing their football players.
John Quintero with us, the coach, for a few minutes, 97.3. And, of course, you can just know John around San Diego County and across Southern California. Great legendary voice there. Football in San Diego with the Chargers gone, San Diego State, do they rule it, John, or is it high school first? Because the Aztecs have been a commuter school. They've been consistent. Is there really that much buzz about SDSU, or is it more high school first?
Well, you got to remember, Brad, the last 2 years they've been playing up in Carson. They didn't have a stadium here in San Diego. So, this is going to be our first opportunity for a lot of people to see the Aztecs since 2019. Think about that. Yeah. They've been playing on the road, 100+ miles away, all their home games. So this is going to be great for all the kids that have come to San Diego State. They're actually going to get to play in front of their own fans in their own stadium, brand new stadium. That's going to be really, really exciting. I think San Diego State probably figured once the Chargers moved away, they were going to be able to capitalize on that. They really haven't been able to for a variety of reasons. Number one, I don't think they really marketed the right people. Number one. Number two, the last 2 years dealing with the pandemic, they were out of town. But now they've got a great opportunity, I think, starting with this Saturday and moving on for a couple of years to really entice people that have never been Aztec fans, never come to an Aztec game, to come out, a brand new stadium, good football team, good football program, and to really do a good job of recruiting. They're kind of getting a do-over, I think, as far as trying to recruit a lot of the former Charger fans. And, as far as high school, I mean, you grew up here in San Diego. You know how important high school football is to this community. From one end of the county to the other end of the county, high school football with all the great coaches, great athletes that have come out of here, a lot of history behind high school football. And, I think it's going to be a little bit better. I thought last year, considering a lot of the teams, coming out of the pandemic, some schools were able to work out more than others. Some were able to get in their weight room more than others. And I thought the level of football last year was not great. I think we've already seen the first couple of weeks. It's a little bit better. And I think it'll get better as we get a little bit deeper into the season.
Let me go back on San Diego State for a minute, and then I'll get over to the high school. John Quintero with us. UCLA, USC leaving. The Pac-12 keeps talking about San Diego State as the perfect partner. What is the view and the feeling in San Diego and San Diego State about the Pac-12?
Well, I think San Diego State, dating back to when I was a young boy and you were a young boy growing up out there in Escondido, we'd always hear maybe the Aztecs getting the Pac-8. Then it's the Pac-10. Now it's the Pac-12. Now who knows how many teams are going to be there. I think the Pac-12, they've got a lot of issues, Brad. I mean, you follow it day in and day out even better than I do. A lot of issues right now. They've got to figure out what they're going to do to try to keep some semblance of football in Southern California. We've heard about playing, certain Pac-12 games at the Coliseum or at the Rose Bowl. That's not going to work, okay? You got to have somebody in Southern California. Obviously, San Diego State would be the team that I think could fit in there, but that San Diego State would have to do some things different. I think they'd really have to step it up in their recruiting base in a variety of different ways. And I'm not so sure that the other schools in the Pac-12 right now necessarily want to see San Diego State come in. But the Aztecs, I think, and their fan base would love to be a part of the Pac-12. But we're going to see. I think there's a lot of moving parts to this, and we may not know for some time.
And on the high school end, John, so Chandler is coming out to play against Cathedral Catholic. Chandler over here is ranked 9th in the nation. They were the runner-up last year to Saguaro over here. Saguaro was playing the number 2 ranked team in the nation here on Friday night. There's debate over here about Saguaro being ranked behind Chandler and all of that. They're meeting Cathedral Catholic. Cathedral Catholic has already played 2 games. Chandler's already behind the 8-ball a little bit on this to start with. What is the view of that game? I don't want to get through all of them, but the Chandler-Cathedral Catholic game on Friday night, you have the number 1 quarterback in the nation coming out there from Chandler and Dylan Raiola.
I think, as far as Cathedral Catholic, they won a state championship last year, Brad. I mean, they're without a doubt the most dominant program in San Diego right now. And they've got some advantages over, obviously, the public schools. They got a beautiful campus, a college level campus that produced a lot of really good football players. Some have gone on and played in college, others haven't. But they know how to develop players at the high school level. They have great numbers, good depth. This year's team's a little bit different. They lost a lot of guys. They lost their big running back, Lucky Sutton, who's now a freshman at San Diego State. And he went crazy in the state playoffs last year. And I think Cathedral Catholic, they're 1-1 right now. They beat Modern Day Catholic, who was the number 2 team in San Diego. That was the first game of the year. They won that game 28-14 over Modern Day Catholic. And then last week, they hosted Centennial. And Centennial is in the top 10 in the country. And they beat Cathedral 42-7. I think where this game is going to lie, it's going to come down to whether or not Cathedral can score points. Defensively, they're pretty good. I mean, I know there were 42 points put on them, but that Centennial team the week before put 85 on their opponent, okay? And they played a full 4 quarters. The defense of Cathedral Catholic's really good, but the offense is a real work in progress right now, and they've got a very, very young offensive line. They got some 10th graders on that offensive line, and I think that could really be a problem from them going against Chandler. And I mean, you know the relationship I have with Rick Gerritsen. I remember Rick when he was a wide receiver at San Diego State, and I remember he was rooming with a guy by the name of Mark Halda, who you know very well. Mark and I went to high school together, and he was a quarterback at San Diego State, and Rick and Mark were living together. And I remember one night after an Aztec game, I hung out in their apartment, spent the night, and then I had to go work the Charger game the next day as an usher. So I've known Rick Gerritsen for a long time. I know he lost a couple of games last year, and that's probably, knowing him, how competitive he is, that's probably haunted him all offseason. That's fueled his fire, and I expect Chandler to have one heck of a football season.
It's good stuff as always. The analysis of the great John Cantara. You can hear him on 97.3. You can listen to them online as well. John, good seeing you. Stay well. Thanks.
All righty, Bradley. Have a great day, and we'll see what happens this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun football.
And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, I want to have Goody on because football season's starting, and who knows who's going to be doing games here, there, everywhere. And I know Bill Goodykunz, chief film and media critic for Gannett, AZ Central. If he doesn't know all, tell all, he's got some idea, I think, at least, right? Like the Rubik's Cube of who's on what channel. Are we going to have confusion for the audience? What do you think?
I think the answer is yes. We're going to have confusion by the audience. And I think, you know, I was actually thinking of this before we got started. This year is really going to be the test of how important announcers are to a football game. I think that we've established over the last two, 3 years that if you just say, I think that people would watch a static picture of a football in the middle of the field. That's how much people like football. Football last year accounted for 75 of the 100 most highly rated shows on television. 75 of 100. And I mean, and that, and you think about that, where that, that's pretty much every game that was on TV. I mean, that, you know, so people are going to watch it, but it's just different. And I've tried to, and I know that you have too, because we've texted back and forth during some of these preseason games, that at least for as long as you can hang in there and stand
it's
it.
It's a rough watch, man.
It is, but I've watched some of it because I wanted to get kind of a handle on what the announcers are going to be like. And so the Sunday night, that Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth did a game. They've done games before because, you know, Al Michaels started working a slightly reduced schedule. So it sounded kind of normal, but not quite. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's any question that when Al Michaels is gone, it just doesn't sound as important. I mean, and we've talked about this a lot in the past. There are some people that it just, you know, it's a football game.
Yeah.
And when Al Michaels is doing it, you know, it's a game. I mean,
when Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olsen did the Cardinal game a couple weeks ago, and I get it, it was a dress rehearsal because they have the Super Bowl. And I get it, it's Aaron Andrews down in the sidelines and Tom Rinaldi doing their thing, but it just felt like, okay. And you don't want to bury them because it's not the starters. It's not even the backups at some point. And they're just trying to fill it and get the shots in and get used to one another. I get that. It's just hard to watch.
Well, and they're perfectly competent. They're very good at what they do. I mean, they don't make bonehead mistakes, you know, like some people do. And they, you know, they don't call out the wrong guy or any, you know, anything like that. But and I don't know a nice way to put this. It sounds worse than I probably mean it. They don't sound important. At least not yet. They just don't have the gravitas or something, if that makes sense. I mean, I don't know how you felt, but when I was watching that, I had to remind myself more than once, like, holy cow, this is their number one team. I mean, this is the best they got. I really think that when the merry-go-round stopped, I think Fox came up kind of behind. I think that their team is the weakest of all of them.
I would agree with that because their number one guy is still suiting up for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, by the way. So Greg Olsen's just keeping the seat warm.
What that's like.
Right. I mean, really good for now. But by the way, when he retires, you're done. You're finished. Doesn't matter what you say or do.
I mean, in reality, that's probably true of most of us. I mean, you know, we're just waiting on the next person to come along who's better and take our place. But at least it's not playing out in front of national television and media.
Well, and CBS is rolling out Jim Nantz and Tony Romo and Tracy Wolfson for the Cardinals-Chiefs game. We don't get to hear their A-list of A-listers very often here in Arizona.
We don't. And that's – and you know what? All of a sudden, they're like – you know, Howard Cosell and Don Meredith and Frank Gifford or something. They're like the old guys on the – they're the only ones that stood pat, you know. And I think that's probably going to help them to an extent. I listened to Thursday night. I watched on Amazon. They don't like that anymore, by the way. It's Prime Video is how they
Prime.
Like.
Yes, yeah. Prime.
Prime Video. They like for you to leave the Amazon out. but nobody does. And you know, and there's Al Michaels, and he sounds – and Kirk Herbstreit's there. And Herbstreit is fine. But I could not shake the feeling of, you know, like bring your kid to work day or something. He just seemed like he was trying so hard to like please Al Michaels, like, look what I know, you know, and Al Michaels just sort of sitting like, you know, and he's just sort of laughing, bemused by it all. I think as far as I can tell, Al Michaels is to the point in life where everything bemuses him. I think he just sort of feels like he's seen it all. And now he's just kind of, he's sitting back and talking about it.
But there's a couple of things on that one with Herbstreit. One is, you know, people make a big deal about announcers being at one game on a Saturday and one game on a Sunday, like it's this act of God. And it's only an act of God if the plane makes it off the runway in time, because the preparation is the key to it. One, two, I can only imagine during a commercial break when headsets are off and F-bombs are flying that Al might have turned to Kirk and just said, something along the lines of, let's just have a little bit more fun here. But, you know, maybe there's something there, maybe there's not. I can only imagine, I don't know that as fact, but being around the business and booths, that stuff, the stuff you hear off the air is infinitely more entertaining than what you hear on the air.
Of course. Of course. And it's particularly with a guy like Michaels, who's a great storyteller. I mean, you've talked to him many times. I'm sure I've talked to him. He's just good at telling those kind of stories, you know, and, it's something that you said about that, about taking it so seriously. It really is a fine line. And I feel like when Tirico did Monday Night Football, and man, I don't want to lay too much blame at the guy's feet, but I think he kind of ruined Monday Night Football for like a generation, because he took it so seriously.
Yeah.
He could not get past the fact that, oh my God, I'm Mike Tirico and I'm doing Monday Night Football. And it just let all the air out of it. It wasn't fun.
Well,
and
I think
he's better at that now.
There's that, but there's also the Monday Night Football. You never know what ESPN is going to do. You don't know who's going to show up from one year to the next year. Their shelf life is short there.
Not anymore. I mean, we haven't even gotten to Monday Night Football yet.
Right.
And I've got to believe that the executives at Fox are going to be sitting there watching Monday Night Football thinking, dang, you know, how did we let it get away?
How did we let this happen?
For all the complaining that people do about Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, they're going to sound pretty good in retrospect, I think. That's going to be strange, too. Just them doing Monday Night Football. I mean, it's just going to be a strange year. And I think it's going to be a fun year because of that. And like you say, I mean, we texted about this too. You know, you can't judge somebody off of, you know, a preseason game that they haven't done the same preparation for, and they're doing a bunch of other stuff. You can't judge them fully on that. But there's going to get to be a point in the season where you can fairly judge them.
But you're only as good as the game, Bill. I think.
Sure.
I think, you know, these Thursday night games are usually dog meat. They're usually bad football because teams are coming off of 4 days rest and the games aren't good. And then there is we have to have all of the teams across the league in prime time in one window or another. So what happens? You're going to sit there and have a bad Atlanta Falcons team playing a who cares team along the way, or a Southern Region team. No offense to the people in the South, but Atlanta against Carolina is not going to move the needle as much, right? And it's like people on the East Coast saying, oh, the Cardinals are playing the Seahawks tonight. Whoopee. And so there's bad games that you're going to be dealt. You're going to have bad teams. And I try to factor that in with announcers. But myself, there's not somebody that I lean into and say, I have to turn this up. I have to hear what they have to say.
I will at the start, just for the curiosity factor.
Sure.
And see how they're doing. And I'll also say that I think where you really separate the wheat from the chaff. I mean, where you, the good announcers are the ones who can call a bad game. I think Al Michaels is great. Obviously everybody loves him. I think sometimes in a blowout or a bad game, he can get a little, you know, a little inside. He can get a little like, you know, let's move on here, Al, come on. But,
but Bill, when it's a 1-point game, and a field goal is being lined up for, and there's 10 seconds to go, and Al says, there's a lot of people in Vegas that are paying attention to this kick. There's nothing better.
It's too bad. He didn't fully miss his mark, but Brent Musburger
hit it.
If he was 30 years, you know, this would be his time. And I know he's doing, you know, Raiders games on the radio and stuff where he was, but he has his betting thing, but this would have been perfect for him. And that's interesting too. It's interesting to see how they incorporate that. It's going to be a really different year, but I mean, like everybody else who likes football, I'm really looking forward to it.
I'll let you go off this in terms of Super Bowl with the game being here. How do you approach this coming season?
I will, particularly as the season winds down, you know, we'll start to see a lot more promos and stuff, especially on Fox, you know, and probably solely on Fox, and see how they do that. I mean, it's something that you said, I mean, and it just sort of drove the point home to me again, and again, this is the rookie number one team that's going to be calling the Super Bowl
here. Right.
Yeah. And I mean, that's pretty unusual. So I'll probably try to get in and talk to them a little bit. I don't know. I'll tell you what I do every I've done this at every Super Bowl that's been played in Arizona. From the 1996 Cowboys Steelers Super Bowl and everyone since, I sit down because I did this in the first one, and I've done it. I sit in the 50-yard line, front row, best seat in the Super Bowl. I'll sit there and wait for the person who has that seat to come kick me out, and then I'll write a column about who has the best seat at the Super
That's
Bowl.
Awesome.
Except that for the Steelers and Cowboys, no one ever came.
That's awesome.
I sat, I personally sat in the best seat in the house for the, you know, with Diana Ross and the helicopter coming down and all that. You know, it was, and I could, it turned out they said that networks buy out the, whoever's broadcasting it, usually you buy out a couple of rows. And then that's how you get those shots of, you know, somebody who's starring in a sitcom sitting in a great seat so they can cut to them and show, so they know where they are, you know, and they said sometimes they just, they have a lot of fun at the parties and they just decide they're not going to come to the game. So
they have too much fun at the parties. I'll let you go off that. I want to just say publicly, it's year 12 of Sports 360 next week. And I thank you because you've been there all through this, is just dropping in and 12 years like that. So I just want to thank you. I thank all the guests that have been here since day one that have jumped on board and like to have fun. So
it is fun. And I want to thank you and for this sort of platform that you've opened up that didn't really exist before like this. But the I wish that you hadn't told me how many years, because I wish you would have made me guess, because honestly, I think I would have said like 5 or 6. And I think that's a good sign. Well, that means that's a good sign that you're having fun.
No, I'm having fun. This is work, but it's not work. All right. See you later. Watch the game. Be brilliant.
Congratulations.
Thank you. There's Goody, and we're back with more after this timeout.